we've been talking about sustainability for a while, but it was something that I think is becoming more and more of a concern for brands as consumers are demanding it more. And again, kind of like tying it back to Gen Z, this is a generation that has grown up with the knowledge that, you know, climate change is real. Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ben.
And today we're going to talk about an event that Ben and I actually attended last week, which was March 27th to the 30th, 2022. And that is Shop Talk, which took place in Las Vegas. And Shop Talk is one of the, if not the largest gathering of retail leaders in one space. They have several events throughout the year. This is their major U.S. event. And this year it was in Las Vegas, which was it was a really fun 3 days, a lot of great conversation, a lot of great content, just a massive, massive event. I mean, the people that put this on did a really excellent job. It was, there was more to see than could possibly be seen in 3 days. And I know that we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves and actually had a really good chance to talk to a lot of marketers in addition to, or specifically marketers from retail brands, in addition to attending some great content sessions. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the event itself, but mostly some of the themes and topics of conversation that really sort of bubbled up over the 3 days that we were there.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's been some weeks. That's we had some difficulty to be together to record the podcast because we are traveling. And just to mention that, yeah, the week before, prior to Shop Talk, I was in Europe for another event, a big event in Europe with e-commerce and retailers to the theme are, we're the same. So that we'll go into the detail of what was discussed at Shop Talk, and that caught our attention. But exactly the same theme during e-commerce one-to-one in Monaco, and that's a really big trends right now. So yeah, we were, I mean, happy to meet people in person again, in real life. That was really interesting to be on trade shows. So, I mean, Matt, if you want to just give us an idea of what were the theme and what are the main topic we'll cover today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, to your point, like, you know, I think marketers have done a really good job with digital events in general, but I think to have everybody in the same space, to have that immersive experience, and to have, you know, to be witness to people talking about things that they're passionate about in a room together, I think made a big difference. And it kind of reminded me of the importance of being able to get people together in person. Because, you know, we've had a lack of that, of course, over the last couple of years. So, like I mentioned, Shop Talk itself is it's a large gathering of largely leaders in the retail space. So not necessarily just marketers, people coming from operations, logistics, even finance, and leaders as high as the CEO level for some major brands. So it was really well attended. Lots of like Fortune 500 companies were there. Really, really, really good attendance list. And the 3 days or 3.5 days really consisted of one, content tracks. So content focusing on anything from payment operations to distributions to merchandising, logistics, research and insights, managing relationships with customers, creating customer experiences. So lots of different tracks of content, and folks could kind of pick and choose the content that they attended throughout the sessions. There were keynotes from retailers as well as providers such as Google, for example, was very involved in a lot of different panels. So keynote presentations kind of covering some of the main themes and topics that were of focus during the conference. There were lots of opportunities for breakout sessions for companies to kind of split off and meet either with vendors or other retailers that they wanted to chat with. So they created a lot of opportunities for sort of small group or one-on-one conversations as well. And then there was an exhibit hall where vendors could kind of display their latest tech innovations or offerings and get a chance to hopefully talk to retailers directly. So it was definitely an immersive 3.5 days, lots of events, lots of content, lots of conversations. So really, really exciting to be able to have all of those leaders from the retail industry together in one place. And not just through content, but through conversations that we were having during our time at Shop Talk, there were, as Ben mentioned, some major themes and topics that kind of emerged over and over and over again that we were hearing either interest in talking about or that were sort of led through the content sessions. Ben, maybe you want to kick us off by talking about
one,
some of those.
Yeah. The first one theme that was everywhere with different level of granularity was omnichannel. That's not a surprise. We are talking about that in the retail industry, in the business industry, B2C industry in general for a long time. In this podcast, we are talking about omnichannel during every episode talking about the omnichannel across marketing channels, so email, SMS, push, in-store, direct mail, all of that. But as you mentioned, Matt, that's a trade show and events for retailer with a lot of different solutions. So that's more macro view on omnichannel, I would say, but that was really in the center of the discussion and how brands, distributor can orchestrate their omnichannel experience for their consumer from the overall online experience to the in-store to all the aspects of the touch points, all the touch points they can get with the consumer, the final consumer. And that's in a way close to what we are talking also for the marketing, especially building relationship. So are brands are able to build a relationship that is providing a good experience to their consumer across all their distribution channel, which can be a lot of different things. And we'll get into one specific one a little bit later in the episode, but they are no longer only the brick and mortar and digital e-commerce. That's really interesting to see because brands are really, again, keen to make the experience, make the relationship with their consumer one experience, and that's really across the board on any touch point.
Yeah, and I think one thing that was really interesting in that regard to me was obviously, we've mentioned it a lot on the podcast and folks have been talking about it now since the beginning of the pandemic, and that's sort of the acceleration of digital commerce. It was a big deal before, but obviously, as we already know, when people are locked at home, shopping didn't stop. It went very much digital. Direct-to-consumer brands flourished during that time. And there was a lot of discussion sort of around a return to the store. And the fact that experience of shopping in store to be able to touch and to experience merchandise directly in that environment is still hugely important. So when we're talking about omnichannel, it's not sort of everything going digital or the digital experience becoming the most important. It really is sort of creating that shopping experience across analog and digital channels, or brick and mortar and digital channels. And I think that was really interesting for me because both the shopping experience in terms of product exploration as well as the actual point of purchase can either happen in store or digitally, or even more likely a combination of both of those experiences, kind of dependent upon what type of retailer you are. And there's a lot of situations where there were folks from I think there's a woman from a makeup company at a session that I saw that said that they started initially almost entirely online and found that there was a need actually for them to expand into brick and mortar because of that sort of consumer, the experience consumers want around being able to experience a product, to be able to touch it, to be able to see it in real life. At least with the technology that we have in the foreseeable future, we're not going to really be able to create that same experience exactly the same way that you get in store. So a lot of discussion around how do you optimize that experience when it's not just sort of multi-channel, but really a situation where both the digital and the real world experiences need to line up in terms of strategy.
Yeah. And things I saw, yeah, I mean, other thing that I saw in the past as innovative startup or projects to look at for the future, they are there. And in a way, that's a concrete example is just the use of the RFID tag on any product. And I saw multiple vendors of RFID fitting room, meaning that you can go in the store, try on the cloth, and all of that is recorded. All these data points are recorded, either linked to the user or not, but the experience of, okay, someone is bringing in the fitting room these four pieces together, taking only this one at the cashier, and leaving the three other in the fitting room. All this correlation between the product and data points, I mean, are additional data points for the learning of the brand and how consumers are really liking the product or behave with all of that. And even if you don't finish the transaction or purchase the product in store, because of all these data points, the experience can just translate to the digital world, and the conversion can happen later on. And there is nothing really brand new, but it's now at scale. That's available. The technology that was innovative years ago on this topic, for instance, is just accessible to everyone right now, and that's easy to implement. And now most of all the brands are collecting the data, connecting the point of sales to their data warehouse, and using all of that thanks to CDPs or data cloud that are helping to gather all of that. That's really something interesting to see on the market.
Yeah. There was a lot of discussion, I think, like to your point, Ben, around data itself. And obviously digital gives a really great opportunity to be able to collect digital touch points that aren't really necessarily available in the real world. But there's a panel very much focused on getting to know your consumer in real life as well. And I think what you're talking about is maybe potentially a way to sort of bridge that gap. But there was kind of also a return to chatting with your consumer, yeah, or, you know, even creating like qualitative situations where you're actually talking to them about what it is that their experience and getting that information rather than sort of just treating them as data points. And there's, I think, potentially going to be a return to that sort of research and insight as well, because you learn a lot when you talk to somebody one-on-one, and you can get a sense of like what they're feeling, you know, like how they perceive things in ways that, you know, binary data points aren't ever really going to be able to tell you. So I think that was definitely a talking point as well around sort of the evolution of data itself as we head more towards this true omni-channel shopping experience.
Yeah, and to your point, Matt, that's putting back the relationship as the R of the CRM and putting back the individual in the center of the discussion, and not one consumer or a group of consumers that are behaving the same way. That's really getting the relationship established with the individual that's R, the buyer or contact.
Yeah.
And something that's, that was at Shop Talk, that was also back in France, one of the main topic, and almost in every mouth and discussion surfacing somewhere, that's a new channel of distribution, at least a very emerging channel, and we'll see what the future will provide with that. But the metaverse, I mean, that's something that's, there was multiple sessions at Shop Talk about the metaverse, what it is and how brands are already using it. And that's something really interesting. And kind of a difference for me, making the parallel between the two trade shows I attended, that was really a big theme in both in Europe and in Shop Talk in Vegas. But in France, that was something that's coming, and how do we we can adapt as a brand to that. That's new channel or that new experience we need to create. In Shop Talk, that was way more advanced. I mean, the testimonial from multiple brands on how they address that and how they are already fully involved into this distribution channel and visibility was very interesting and impressive. How fast are some brands in the innovation side of following trends and what's the future?
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's like two. It seems like there's two lines of thinking, and one was very much prominent at Shop Talk. One is that the metaverse is sort of like a kind of a fad, or there's not going to be a ton of opportunity there. I think there's some brands that are kind of waiting and seeing sort of like what happens, because it is still pretty new and nascent in terms of opportunity for retailers. But to your point, there are brands that have already started and have been making for a while a major play in the space. And for those who are a bit unfamiliar, and I have to do way more research into the metaverse myself, I'm by no means an expert on it. Probably should ask somebody in Gen Z, because they're probably already involved in multiple different universes. But essentially, it's a place where an individual can exist digitally and create an avatar, or personal reflection of themselves in the digital world. So it could be something that reflects very much what they look like physically, or they could create a completely new type of personality and character. Essentially, they can exist in a universe with other digitized versions of people. And within that universe, there can be different communities. There can be different sort of areas to explore. You might be able to build specific things or create your own world. There's even real estate that exists in some of these spaces. And of course, along with that, brands have seen an opportunity to create or to build relationships with customers by creating marketing opportunities. But in addition to that, actually going as far as to creating real shopping and commerce experiences in the metaverse. Now, that could be potentially shopping for physical products that you can get in the real world, or it can be buying pure digital merchandise that has no place in the digital world. And we're seeing sort of an emergence of strategies in both of those different areas. One, from an opportunity for brands just to have a presence there, but also for retailers to be able to create personalized shopping experiences within the metaverse. And because there really are no rules as it relates to, you know, honestly, physics, you can really create anything you want. So every individual shopper could be delivered an individualized retail experience that very much feels immersive, because unlike, you know, other digital channels like social, where it's sort of like binary communication, this really is an immersive experience where with the right AR, you can feel like you are living in this world. And obviously, we're still lacking touch so far in terms of like a physical sensation. Who knows, maybe that's coming later, but you have like basically an environment that you feel completely immersed in that reflects a whole new boundless world. And so there's just a lot of opportunity for brands to create new and immersive experiences. And as Ben was saying, like, there are brands that are already sort of embracing that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that we was talking about it in the introduction and what you mentioned, Matt, and the fact that it's a new channel, a new distribution channel, a full channel, in a way that the bridge, the crossover between the channel, the digital, as we know, the retail, the brick and mortar and the metaverse, crossover. An example is that I can go and enter a store in New York, buy a card, a code that represents a digital asset. So I can buy a digital hoodie in a store, being in person in the store, and use that in the metaverse. So the metaverse, so being a 3D world, that's my avatar, my representation, whatever I want to be there, can wear this hoodie. But I can also go in the metaverse in a store, and we'll talk about that. Like we saw brands like Paxson, Forever 21 that are really already, I mean, not exploring the that. Yeah, that's still an exploration phase for them, but they have stored an entire shopping experience into some of the of this world. And go to the Forever 21 virtual store in the metaverse and buy a product that I will receive at home. So that's really crossing all the boundaries of these two universes, the real one and the meta one. And I said there is no limitation. So the creativity is just the sky. There is no limit with that. We heard not so far. So far away, Nike making big investment to build their own Nike store in one metaverse. Yeah. We're mentioning Forever 21 with an entire store, but they, like a couple of weeks ago, they been part of the metaverse fashion week, which was in Decentraland. It's not just a things for gamers or Gen Z. A bubble that will just burst. I mean, maybe that will burst, but that was, I think, a great intervention from, I can't remember the guy who was on stage explaining that, but that will happen. That can come and the bubble burst, but that's not by no mean, I mean, that's not mean that it will disappear. That's just part of the cycle of evolution and innovation. And yeah, there is a lot of noise on the market right now about around that. Brands are investing into it, knowing that that will evolve, the technology will change and it will continue to progress. But that's another type of touch point. And again, something that's really interesting is that because of the brand experience of the product, as we said, that's, there is no limit to imagination and the experience you can provide. There will be also space for the relationship to be built. So that we are talking about experience, but how do you do CRM in this world? You don't know necessarily who are the people of the avatar in real life, but that I'm not sure that's matter. That's what are their behavior in the digital, I mean, the meta world. And instead of knowing that it's Matt, that will be just a wallet ID, but you know what this wallet bought, purchased, visited, what are the world is visiting with that. Potentially, you might have 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 different profile, but that's something more complex to manage for the brands, but that's what's coming. It's not even coming soon. That's just existing already. That's really the beginning of it. But that's existing, and that's really interesting to see. How the brands are creating the experience and building partnership with influencers and all of that universe. That community. Around the metaverse.
Yeah, 100%. There were definitely some first movers and early adopters from a retail perspective in terms of embracing that. And I think like a lot of the conversations on the metaverse focused a lot on Gen Z, which was another major topic that emerged. Obviously, the newest generation that's sort of coming into age in terms of being able to spend money to have discretionary income is always a big focus. And, you know, it's been millennials for the last two decades, but now Gen Z is becoming of age where they're becoming consumers as well, in terms of being able to control their own budgets. And similarly, I think what's interesting about the metaverse is obviously it's talked a lot about in the context of Gen Z, because as an emerging sort of tech platform or environment, I guess, or and whatnot. It's similar to when social was becoming a really big thing. I was a much younger millennial back then, and that was like all of the rage as they were talking about how we were adopting Facebook and Twitter and all of these platforms and sort of moving them forward. But eventually, everyone else adopted them as well. And so I think, like, you know, we could see a similar pattern here where it's very much focused around Gen Z as being the primary users of these platforms. But eventually, you know, as it matures, everyone is probably going to participate in one way or another. So brands that get in early are going to be more advanced in terms of learnings, understanding how to use it either for marketing or for creating customer experiences, et cetera. So I think, like, big theme was, if it's not something you're thinking about, it should be, even if whether you're a marketer or whether you're in charge of actually moving product and merchandising strategy, it's something that at least needs to be coming up in discussion. And the earlier you get involved and start playing around with it, the better. I think it was PacSun actually required everyone on the executive team, and I believe all employees, at least on the corporate level, had to have a Roblox account and play around in that platform so they could understand how it works, and how people engage with it and how they engage with each other within the platform. But again, like, a lot of it did focus around Gen Z because they've been sort of the early adopters naturally as it is new technology of it.
Yeah. And I mean, this experience that shared by PacSun, and I think that was a CMO at PacSun, explaining that the entire exec C-suite was really involved into that, just prove, and that was the same for Forever 21, I think, that just proved that it's not a marketing thing or just a store thing. That's a change, a transformation of the company, of the brand. Not meaning that everything will shift to that, but it's involved. It's imbricated together, and everyone needs to at least understand the minimum, the basics about it, because the experience is omni-channel, and there is a new channel coming up very fast. And my second point on that, and comments on what you said, Matt, is if we look at a broader timeline, like years ago, I mean decades ago, there was no e-commerce, no digital store. The pace that store were innovating and making progress to evolve and provide a better experience was what it was. The e-commerce changed a little bit the landscape, making, I mean, we saw brands reacting and acting faster than others, and actually the one that were learning and getting in the learning curve at the early stage, maybe they made mistakes, but they were learning faster. And so in most of the case, that the brands that just gets on top of the mass. But that was my point, is that it was a different pace between the retail only, the brick and mortar only, and the digital e-commerce and brick and mortar together. This Gen Z and new channel or new way of distribution is going like 10x faster than the e-commerce evolution. So the train is leaving now. That's why these brands are jumping in right now. And maybe that's not the best integration they are doing. Maybe that's not the best choice, but they are learning with the Gen Z, because that will be, I mean, their main share of the business, or the big slice of the business will come from this generation in the next five or 10 years. So they are just learning with them, making the mistake, maybe, but that's moving forward so fast. The evolution is so quick. That's, you need to start to transform the way the company is reacting and acting. And especially if you are a big brand, you need this agility and this open mind, this open mindset, or I was about to say spirit, in the company, in the exec, up to the exec level, and not just whatever intern managing the social media, which happens sometimes. I mean, that's really fundamental for the future of these brands. And it could be first come, first serve, in terms of share of the market, of the metaverse market.
Yeah. It was very clear that Gen Z was becoming very, very important focus for for retailers in general, within the discussion, I think the panel that we're referring to specifically around the metaverse, like the brands that were speaking on that panel, it is important to note, like PacSun, Forever 21 are very much targeting Gen Z with their products. They're younger focused brands. But to your point, the earlier you get in, the more you're gonna learn from that experience. And that was brought up as well, in terms of sort of learning and evolving, and not everything is done correctly the first time. But again, a lot of focus around Gen Z. I think there's a lot to still learn about this generation was the takeaway that I'm getting from it. In general, you know, this generation, millennials, especially older millennials, do remember what the world was like pre-internet. And most of them remember what the world was like when the internet wasn't as sophisticated as it is now, when there was no 5G, when things were dial up, when there was no social media. So millennials have sort of existed as it's evolved. The world has evolved from a complete analog world into one that has become very digital. Where Gen Z, you know, they were born into it. And so technology is like sort of an extension of their world. And like, and that's why the metaverse makes so much sense, is because it's just sort of that natural evolution for them. And it's just like sort of a natural thing. But I think one thing, again, kind of like we were talking about a little bit earlier on, is actually Gen Z is similar to millennials and even Gen X. When you think about the mall generation, you think of Gen X. Like, Gen Z's favorite place to hang out in a lot of situations, I think depending obviously on where people live, but is the mall. They still enjoy going and having that experience. They're not this, contrary to popular belief, this generation that exists completely at home on their computers. They still like to go hang out with their friends in the mall, like other generations in the past. But like, that's why that omnichannel experience is becoming more and more important. Well, it is important, but is such a focus, because there's going to be a need to continue to bridge the gap between digital and analog worlds. And so I think, like, there's still a lot to learn. This generation's obviously, a lot of them are still very, very young. They're still kids, but the older members of this generation are sort of now in their early, getting into their mid-20s. So definitely will be interesting to kind of see how marketing evolves to address a generation that's very much has a different relationship with technology than even millennials do.
Yeah, I mean, PacSun, I think if I remember correctly, they mentioned that they are retargeting the age. I mean, the range is 16 to 25 or 29. But I mean, in 10, 15 years, these people, this Gen Z, I mean, will be 15 years older, and they won't come back to another way of what they learn or they evolved when they were younger. So even if that's not your target right now, that's still time to try to understand what's happening and get ready, because I mean, even if your products are targeting people that are older than the Gen Z right now, the Gen Z will be your target in 5 to 10 years. So that's really something interesting. And I know that in the discussion we had a chop talk, we heard a lot of discussion. We have this kind of discussion internally also. I can hear that, oh, this thing is just a dream, or that's I don't believe into it. Okay, that's such a big change. That's a big shift that's happening so fast that it's hard to grasp everything. But it would resonate the same way if, like, 20 years ago, you would say that, oh, this email, this thing with the dial-up internet, and I need to wait 5 minutes to send my email, will never replace the mail in my mailbox.
Yeah.
Look at where we are right now. I mean, that's really will change the way the future generation are experiencing shopping with the brands, or the in general, or traveling, or everything. And that's starting now. So that's just, it was paying a little bit of attention and not taking the easy path, saying that, oh, I don't believe that will work. And that would just be the same as, I don't believe internet will work like 20 years ago.
Yep, 100%.
Matt, there was a last theme. We talked a lot about that because that was a main piece of the event. But the last theme was?
Yeah, so well, last something that came up a lot was just in kind of like in different contexts, but was obviously sustainability. Sustainability really referring to being able to create or to build products and to distribute products in an environmentally friendly way that's sustainable. And I think like there's a lot of conversation around there's a lot to think about in terms of sustainability. We've even talked a little bit about it on the podcast in terms of like email and how you can create sustainable email practices, but it's everything from the marketing to the way that you distribute, to the materials that you use to manufacture the products, like all of these different elements have to be sustainable for really industries to be able to embrace this fully. And it seems like this is something that's picking up steam. Like this isn't new. We've been talking about sustainability for a while, but it was something that I think is becoming more and more of a concern for brands as consumers are demanding it more. And again, kind of like tying it back to Gen Z, this is a generation that has grown up with the knowledge that, you know, climate change is real, with the knowledge that we can't just keep throwing things into the ocean and expect it all to be okay. Like they're very cognizant of the environmental damage that is occurring and can occur. So brands, as a result, are paying attention to that, I think, a bit more. One thing that was interesting to me is there's a little bit of a debate around kind of comparing it to like, I guess, like luxury shopping. So someone made, I think, the really good point that sustainable products are still more expensive because sustainable methods of shipping, of distribution, green-friendly materials to make products, all of those things are more expensive. And so ultimately what that means is the costs get passed along to the consumer. So we're sort of in a situation now where you almost have to afford to be sustainable. And I think that's something that's really important to think about. I don't think there's necessarily an easy and immediate fix for that. But I thought it was an interesting debate because she made that point and then somebody else made the point that, well, people will pay for things that they care about. And I think luxury is a really good example of that. And I do agree, but ultimately you can't pay for things you can't afford. And I think the average American probably still struggles a bit to be able to buy fully green, just like organic is more expensive. So I think it'll be interesting to see how brands sort of address this kind of barrier to being able to scale sustainability because the environment will require it, but consumers also need to be able to participate in that economically. And so I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there. It didn't seem to be something that was resolved, but definitely a topic of conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely not resolved. As you said, that's not resolved yet, but we are very close to a critical mass and it's really what we feel when we see the brand innovation and focus on the topic, as well as the providers, actually. There was a lot of delivery shipping provider during the event. Not really our focus, our personal focus, but seeing their booth and their talking points and how they communicate, that's definitely a focus for them too. Just trying to pass the message that, that can be more sustainable for the planet if you don't expect this delivery the next day, because actually the product, you do not have this product for 2 months and maybe you can wait 1 week. That's, there is a group shipping to get the product to you, and that won't cost to humanity that won't make the same impact on the climate and all that.
Yep.
So that's big trend too. I mean, nothing new, but reaching some mass. I don't know if that's a mass adoption yet, but at least a minimum passing a threshold on the topic.
Yeah, it's kind of something to your point, Ben, that no matter where you sit in the supply chain, it's not something you can avoid anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely some brainstorming and thoughts to throw that topic.
Yep, but it's an important one. I think that brings us to time. So yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this overview. Especially for those of you who are unable to attend, I think like it gives you a pretty solid, obviously it's not quite the same as experiencing it yourself, but definitely gives you a pulse of, in terms of what retailers are really thinking about in 2022. I think it's definitely very much reflective of the major themes that exist within the industry. Definitely an interesting few days for me.
Yeah. And, we'll dig in more in detail in some of them, in the future, in a future episode for sure. So.
Absolutely.
Happy to be back on the show and talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.